You're listening to Mornings with Eric and Bridget on Moody Radio 89.3.
Well, we learn pretty young to stay away from things that will harm us, like poison ivy, even venomous snakes, boiling water, making sure we stay away from electrical outlets, especially if we've got water in our hands. But what about one of the deadliest toxins of all? That is destructive thinking. That's what we're talking about today with Marty Wibbles from Palm Beach Counseling. How do we avoid this and replace it with healthy thoughts? Marty, good morning. Thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, good morning. Great to be with you.
You know, I think I always think in sports terms. For some reason, I like sports. Michael Jordan didn't leave the, you know, when they were at the last, this is the last play of the game, get the ball to Michael. He didn't leave that circle with his teammates and say, oh, I'm going to miss this. He went out there and said, get me the ball. I'm going to make this shot. And he, great athletes, I don't think they avoid those toxic thoughts. But in our own life, and they might have toxic thoughts in other areas of their life, but I think in our own life, we don't have that concept a lot of times that I'm not going to miss this shot type of thought, do we?
No. In fact, we think a toxic thought, and it seems right. We call those kinds of thoughts cognitive distortions, or a thought that's twisted up somehow. But there, it breaks down into 10 of them, which you can, on my website, Palm Beach Counseling, www.pbcounseling.com, there's a free download about depression. There's a number of things that can help you, but the main thing to realize is if you're starting to feel depressed or hopeless, you feel, I just can't do this, life is too hard, or you're anxious, like I'm struggling with what's going to happen tomorrow, I don't think our family can make it, then you're in the toxic thought realm and you don't even know it. Mm. And that's why they're so deadly. They're subtle and we don't recognize them. It's like when we were in Russia the first time we were teaching, and we took a break one day with some of the Christians there and walked through an incredible forest. It was like being in a fairy tale, especially when I saw these amazing bright red mushrooms covered with little white dots. And I did feel like I was in a fairy tale. And because I was so amazed, I ran over to touch one.
Right.
And our friend, the pastor, said, no, no, Marty, don't touch those. They're really deadly. And I didn't know. And that's the way toxic thoughts can be. We don't know. So today we're going to help you figure them out.
Yeah, you gave us a quote here from Ralph Waldo Emerson that I've heard before, maybe our friends are familiar with, but it really does paint a powerful picture.
Sow a thought and you reap an action. Sow an act and you reap a habit. Sow a habit and you reap a character. Sow a character and you reap a destiny. So as you pay attention today and start applying what we're going to be giving you, you can see a difference in your daily life that will result in literally a different future. In my office, I have met with people who've been depressed for so many years that they can barely walk. And yet, research shows that the main way to change depression and anxiety is to change your thoughts. We have this erroneous assumption that we just need a pill and it will go away. And I'm not negating that sometimes people do need medication. And we've talked about that before, but it would be if you're not sleeping, if you're not able to function in daily life, then you need a medical intervention. But for most depression and anxiety, actually the majority of depression and anxiety, it can be transformed by changing your thoughts.
We see these toxic thoughts as part of Satan's plan. From the very beginning in Genesis, we see him using this against Adam and Eve, don't we?
Oh, he planted a thought. Has God really said? And in our sophisticated world, people start thinking, you know, the Bible, I don't need that. That I have other things I can think about or do. And that's not true. The truth sets you free. In fact, in Isaiah, God says, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's Isaiah 53:6. In Ephesians, 4, it says, the flesh is continually being corrupted according to the lust of deceit. So, you know, people say, oh, we're not getting older, we're getting better. That was an old hair care commercial. We are getting older. I can testify to that. And we're not getting better. It's a principle in science of entropy, that everything goes from order to disorder. And that's what happens with our thoughts. We may wake up, and I hope you do wake up and spend time in the Word. That's the best place to start your day, in God's Word. Again, why? The truth sets you free. The truth reveals to us when our thoughts are going the wrong direction. So spend time in the Word, but we can start our day that way and then veer away from it
pretty quickly. And you list some thoughts that we could start to have or start to creep in our minds that we don't even realize are cognitive distortions, as you mentioned. One of the first ones, a toxic thought example, is, I can't help having painful emotions. Why is that wrong?
Well, because we can't help it. When we're depressed, and some of us, I'm prone to depression. And I learned when I was in my 20s that I was depressed. I didn't even know it. I just thought most people felt like they wished they were dead. No, you don't have to feel that way. And when I learned that that was typical of depression, I realized I need to do something about it. And several things happened at the same time. I heard a pastor say, thoughts of suicide are acts of rebellion against God. And I thought, I don't want to rebel against God. I love God. And so I realized that the thoughts I was having, the defeated thoughts, were from Satan, not from God. So I was able to differentiate. But then I needed to think more thoughts of God and trust in God instead of my feelings. So the negative habit we get when we think I can't help having these painful emotions is my feelings are right. We trust our feelings as our reality. They aren't our reality. They can be because we've had a difficult relationship, because we've lost someone that's important to us. Feelings can come when you've driven in heavy traffic on 95 and someone has been threading the needle, you know, cutting in front of you and almost killed you. You can have bad feelings then about that person, about yourself, about life. When work is hard. So we trust in God. We go over all our circumstances. And it's not the people in life, the events in life, or the circumstances in life, said Dr. Sam Peoples, that make us what we are. They reveal what we are. So if we say, I'm just angry because of this, no, this is revealing. I'm already angry.
The verse you give us to kind of counter that is Psalm 56, 11 and 13. And I don't know if you have it there. Oh, you do? Oh, it's on the,
it's on the back side of the paper.
You put it all right there, Marty. Yeah. What does that say?
It says, in God I trust. I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? I must perform my vows to you, O God. I will render thank offerings to you. For you have delivered my soul from death, yes, my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. So a number of choices are there. I would really encourage you just to cogitate on that passage today. Think about it all day long. Because the choice we can make is thank God, even when we feel so discouraged and hopeless. But then the promise is, that I may walk before God in the light of life. Have you ever gotten up in the night and it's, and maybe you're in an unfamiliar place and it's pitch dark and you're stumbling? All it takes is a tiny light, like a little night light, and you're okay. So we have the light of life for what we are going through today. And we think, no, no, Marty, you don't realize my life is harder than yours. Nobody's life is harder than anyone else's. Johnny Erickson Tata said, suffering is relative. Your own is the worst you know. So instead of saying, my suffering is the worst in the world, just say, my suffering is hard, but God is with me. He will give me light. He will show me my next step.
You said something before we get to the next toxic thought. You said something a few minutes back, and I want to just go there and see, is this maybe not a starting point, but an important point? You said the word no. Is it that simple sometimes to say, no, I'm not going to go here? Is
it
that
is.
Very helpful?
Yeah, we need to practice it, though, because it's not going to feel genuine. When we're having these negative thoughts, it's like, we put on the music, woe is me. And we play it over and over. And we go to the 85th verse and we're laying down going, I can't make it. And we just need to say, get behind me, Satan, because the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
I think it goes to the verse that tells us to take every thought captive, doesn't it?
For sure. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Yeah. And that's a warfare verse. Take every thought captive. But it goes on, and make it obedient to Christ. So if we're despairing, we can't at the same time be trusting him.
Well, this is important that we not only recognize those toxic thoughts, but replace it with the right thoughts and with the truth that sets us free. If you text the word healing to 561-737-6035, you'll get this handout that we're working through with some of these Bible verses that Marty is helping us through today.
Yeah, let me just also say that Marty gave the website a few minutes ago, and that's listed on the bottom of the page. It's linked there. So if you want to go find the other resources that she has available for you, that website is listed there. So, okay, the next toxic thought that you have listed here is I'm frightened about the future. That could be 10 years. That could be 10 minutes, really. It's just something that I don't have control of because it's a little bit in front of me or a lot in front of me. I'm frightened by that.
And I have to give a correction. I gave you the wrong scripture reference a minute ago. I think I said 1 Corinthians 10:13. That's the one about there's no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, and God will with the temptation provide a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. That's a good one too. But what I was referring to was 2 Corinthians 10:5, where we take every thought captive to obey Christ, etc. So sorry. I
don't even know the address to my house. So finding the address for all these verses is difficult.
Well, but I'm trying to be present with you listeners,
yes.
I don't want to put you on a detour here.
Right. All right. So I'm frightened about my future. How do we fight that?
And hey, all you have to do is watch the news, and this one will be a thought you might have. Some of the things that are happening.
Well, there's a lot. I could list you about 10 things to be frightened about the future for if you want to know what they are.
Preach, brother. No,
yeah.
we know.
I know. That's why I'm not saying anything.
And it's not that we go around and put our head in the sand. I think we need to be informed, but be informed biblically so we can talk back to the fear. I have been in so many women's Bible studies where women will say, my job is to worry. And in my soul, I'm screaming. I try not to do it out loud at the Bible study, but I'm thinking, no, the Bible says don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. So worry is a negative habit. And frankly, we have no excuse to be worriers. So yes, the future is frightening, but look at history. Look at the nation of Israel and all the armies that came against them to destroy them. And they're not destroyed today. We need to trust in God with not some of our heart, but all of our heart.
What's that verse there that kind of replaces that lie that it's my job to worry?
Oh, Psalm 94:19 is so comforting. When my anxious thoughts multiply within me, your comforts delight me. And isn't that true? When we allow anxiety, I saw a news report the other night, and I'm not going to tell you what it was because I don't want you to worry like I did. I went to bed. I was worried because it was a scary report. And I had to repent. Lord, I'm sorry. I forgot. I'm worried. And I know that our future is secure in your hands.
And the multiply is an important word within that because it's not that I've just added another worry. It's like it's times 10 when I add another worry. And then I add another one, it's times, and it just gets larger and larger in your mind. You can't almost control it. That's why we need to say no to those things.
That's so true, because in the mental health field, we're seeing more and more diagnosable anxiety disorders. And that's when people have those anxious thoughts multiplying to the point they are not able to function. So we can choose to nip it in the bud. And you might say, well, I'm not at that point. I'm at the point where I think I can't function. Then get help. We have an organization on here, the South Florida Association of Christian Counselors, that you can contact the website and go to the Find a Counselor section.
I think the Poison Ivy one is really something that we can all understand because it just touches you just here and it spreads and you're like, oh, and you're, it just drives you crazy and it's spreading. And that's kind of where the toxic thoughts, they just kind of touch you and then they kind of multiply in your mind.
Exactly. So I talked with a woman once who burned poison ivy and the fumes got inside her body and wreaked havoc in her internal organs. The point about toxic thoughts is have a zero tolerance policy. Just like you wouldn't stick a fork in an outlet and expect good outcomes. We think we can have these toxic thoughts and mull them over and over. We even lie to ourselves and say, I just need to process this. And one of the most deadly ones is this: God is unfair. He doesn't care. Because we will not trust a God who we feel like doesn't care, right? And so it's okay to ask questions, but do it with an expectation that God does care. He loves you. He's created you with purpose, for a purpose. And in Psalm 119, 65 to 68, it says, your extravagant kindness to me makes me want to follow your words even more. Teach me how to make good decisions and give me revelation light, for I believe in your commands. Before I was humbled, I used to always wander astray, but now I see the wisdom of your words. Everything you do is beautiful, flowing from your goodness. Teach me the power of your wonderful words. What we try to do is conceptualize God with our finite, limited minds, and he's infinite. So we aren't always able to get it, what his infinite good purpose is. But when you listen to those verses, did that give you a glimmer of hope?
It does, because we're told to trust him, that he's working all things for our good. And that's a hard thing to do sometimes when we see the circumstances around us. So we can trust in him as you hear those words from, where was it, Psalm 119 speaking to us there about his goodness for us.
Yeah, it's so insidious too, because you even mentioned earlier about the original sin when, you know, the enemy in the garden told Eve, and that was really the root of it, wasn't it? God's not for you. There's something better out there. He's holding back from you. So that lie it's kind of the original one.
And it crushes us. Yeah. If you're feeling hopeless, go to the God of all hope. Even if these doubts are like tormenting your mind, God is unfair, he doesn't care, tell yourself that isn't true, and then go to the truth. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? That's Psalm 27.
As believers, we have the Holy Spirit within us, and that is so important in this battle, isn't it?
Yeah, we try to do it ourselves, and I notice a really subtle shift when we think we have to get it right. Like one of our toxic thoughts is, I should do better. Or that could be in the form of, I should do more, or I always get it wrong. And picture, I don't know if you've ever seen pictures of the men at Mecca doing self-flagellation exercises where they have a whip and they're whipping their back with little bits of stone and metal and blood is just spurting down their backs. That's a religious ritual. We don't have to do that because Jesus did it for us. He paid for our sins. We don't have to live in works orientation. And works-oriented living makes us forget the Holy Spirit, makes us forget grace.
Right.
But we, you know, that picture, we kind of do that with our thoughts sometimes.
Yeah. Should thoughts are like that. Mm-hmm. We just torture ourselves. And guess what? We all fail.
Right.
We all fail. And the sweet thing about grace, grace that God gives us and that we can also give others, is realize, oh, she didn't. That's not what she meant to say. She doesn't usually talk grumpily like that. Maybe she's really tired. So if someone says something wrong, we can say, how's your week going? Is there anything you want me to pray about? And we can also go to Titus 3. I put that in Phillips Version, which isn't really common, but I love it. Titus 3:4-8, but when the kindness of God, our Savior, and his love towards man appeared, he saved us, not by virtue of any moral achievements of ours, but by the cleansing power of a new birth and the moral renewal of the Holy Spirit, which he gave us so generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior. The result is we are acquitted by his grace and can look forward to inheriting life forevermore. This is solid truth.
Sometimes we've got to look for that kindness. I mean, we sometimes miss it, don't we?
Yeah, so we can look for his kindness in nature. If you can get outside and go for a walk, notice the leaves, how amazing and how different each is. Notice the birds and realize God knows when even one bird falls. He sees you. You matter much more than a bird. So let yourself notice his grace everywhere you are and live in it, not in your strength, which is so limited, but in his unlimited strength.
If you want this, the link to this PDF, just text the word healing to 561-737-6035. There's a couple of these thoughts we didn't get to. There's more scripture listed there. And you even go as far to say, memorize these verses so that, because it's not a if, but it's a when, right? When these thoughts come in your mind, then you just go directly to these and you've got them planted in your mind. You think yes. Said memorize these.
I was convicted as I worked on this. I thought I need to memorize these too. I know some of them by memory, but I need to memorize all of these scriptures. But the key word here is meditate. Don't just memorize them, but meditate on them. Think about them throughout the day and let them flow through your actions, through your attitudes, through your relationships, and it will transform everything.